Well, we're going to do a little bit of a switch from some of our Texas and Oklahoma and New Mexico. We're going to go to California now. Is that right? And it's going to be from Fresno State with Sir Nason, Srinivasan. All right. Thank you.
First of all, I would like to thank the opportunity for the organizers for giving me the opportunity to be part of the symposium. We are not actually southwest, but I think we can stretch it. We are on the southern end of U.S. and we are on the western side, so we are California southwest too. But it will be nice. I'm sure you guys love to come to California. So I'm going to take you to California for the next 20-25 minutes and talk about one of the success stories in Fresno State, especially in these days when we are all pressed for resources. So when I saw the title and the topic of the symposium, I thought it would be nice to share some of the challenges and frustrations we have had in the past and how we have overcome it. And I think we are all in it together, the same kind of issues we all face at land grant or non-land grant institutions. Okay, how many of you, if you think of California, you immediately think of Hollywood and Beverly Hills and all the fun things, the sun, the beaches, and the apples and Googles, right? High-tech industry. But really, California is the number one state in agriculture. It's hard for some people to believe until you see the numbers, because you don't see the thousands of acres of corn or soybean that you see when you drive through Midwest, but California is the number one state for agriculture. $38 billion in revenues comes from can you hear me? Okay. Comes from revenues from 82,000 farms in California, 2010. Okay, where does this revenue come from? One of the reasons that California is so rich in agriculture and in terms of revenues is the type of crops we are fortunate enough to grow in California. We are so diversified. Our biggest income comes from fruits and nuts, followed by livestock and poultry, vegetables and melons, field crops, nursery and floriculture. Those numbers that you see on the pie chart are billions of dollars, like $11 billion for fruits and nuts alone. So it's a huge industry for California. If you look at some of the different commodities in agriculture, most of us think that milk, number one state is Wisconsin, but it is in the mid-90s we switched. California became the number one state for dairy in the country. We are number one in milk and cream. Grapes, almonds, these are the ones that you see in the red are the commodities where California tops the nation. For example, 95% of the grapes are produced in California. 99% of the almonds is from California. And you can go on and so on and on. That's one of the beauties. These are all cash crops which bring in a lot of revenues. So that's why we are the most diversified and the most richest country. If you look at the California state, the different counties, the one in the red, the four counties which are located around Fresno State, which is Fresno County, account for half of the revenues in agriculture in California. Fresno County, actually this year is about $5.8 billion in revenues from agriculture, is the richest agriculture county in the state, the nation, and in fact in the world. We are truly the breadbasket of the world. We may not produce wheat and rice, but we produce so many other commodities, so it's the richest ag county in the world. So it's unique that Fresno State is located in the middle of all these activities, and so ag is our main focus at Fresno State. We have been talking about different campus systems in Texas. We are also similar to that. We have a three-tier campus agricultural system, education system in California. We have the two-year community colleges, of course. We won't talk about it. And then we have the four-year universities, the California State University system, and then the land-grant systems, the UC systems. There are 10 campuses of UC. There are three land-grant institutions in University of California, which is the Davis, the Berkeley, and Riverside. We, California State University Fresno, comes under the Cal State system. We have 23 campuses, largest in the nation. 412,000 students, 43,000 faculty, but the budget has been shrinking. Our budget is $2.14 billion this year. We took a big cut of about $650 million, and we are expecting another $100 million cut in December. Okay? So the budget that we have, 2.14 billion, represents what it was in 98-99, about 12 years ago. Huge. So what this has happened is the tuition fees has gone up. The fees that students pay at Cal State has gone up about 35% in the last 2 years. Still, it's a bargain. Undergraduate student will pay only about $4,000 per year for tuition. It used to be practically free. It used to be $1,000 a year 10 years ago. So naturally, people complain about the increase, but we are generating a lot of more revenues from tuition. If you look at Fresno State, we are one of the four CSE campuses with the College of Agriculture. You all know about Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, which is kind of the Ivy League of the system. Cal Poly Pomona near Los Angeles, Chico, and Fresno State. We have a very healthy competition between Cal Poly and Fresno State. We used to tell our students, if you like to be a beach bum and do surfing, you can go to Cal Poly. But they attract some of the best and the brightest students too. Because we are located in the Central Valley, Fresno State attracts a large amount of ACT students. We have 22,000 students in the university, 1,200 faculty, and 10 different colleges. If you look at the College of Agriculture Science and Technology, which has been recently, just 2 years ago, named as the Jordan College of Agriculture Sciences and Technology, to give credit to the family, Jordan family, which gave $30 million gift, the largest gift to any campus in California state system, to Agriculture College. $30 million, so we named the college after her, and we are building a new building, and we have some endowment. It comprises of 1,200 undergraduate and 300 graduate students. We don't have a PhD program. We have a master's program. But our main focus, primary focus, is on undergraduate education. We believe in hands-on learning. We have 50 full-time faculties, 7 departments, 3 research centers. They are Viticulture and Enology Research Center, the Center for Ag Business, and Center for Water Technology. It's located in the most productive agriculture regions in the country, and our education philosophy is truly learning by doing. We give that opportunity to our students to learn hands-on. This is a Google map taken last year, I guess, of our farm. If you see the top, you can see some small dots. Those are the houses bordering our campus. We are located right in the middle of the city, in Fresno City. Fresno is the largest growing metropolis. It's the fifth largest city in California with about 700,000 people. Including the neighboring cities, almost 1 million people. So we are located right in the middle of the city. That's very unique. Not too many campuses nowadays have a college farm right on the city. It's a 1,057-acre farm. What you see on the south west corner, that small quadrant, is the academic campus, the buildings. The rest of it is all the open area you see is the farm. So I, as director, I get to manage this farm laboratory. Plus, in addition, we also have a 4,000-acre San Joaquin experimental range. This actually belongs to the Forest Service, but it has been leased to us for the last 35 years. Fresno State manages it, runs a beef cattle operation here, range science. We teach our students in range cattle management. So these two comprises what we call the farm laboratory. I was talking about the budget at the camp, at the Cal State level. I'm just going to go down to the specific topic, theme of my topic today, which is about the farm laboratory. Our farm state budget has been shrinking in the last 10 years. It used to be $1.8 million about 10 years ago. This year's budget was 1.37. Okay. I'm actually by training a maize breeder. I'm not a farm manager or a farm director by any training at all. I used to work in Mexico CIMIT for 15 years, and then I decided to come to Fresno State about 6 years ago. So I joined Fresno State in 2005. When I joined, we had a budget of 1.63 million, and we lost about $300,000 in the last 5 years. Our staff went from 22 state-funded positions to about 12 today. Okay? That's a serious reduction of technical staff. But I want to share with you how we are coping up with this and not sacrificing the quality of education. Okay, how do we manage this kind of budget decline? Fortunately, our predecessors had a vision to start what is called as an agricultural foundation. It is a private, it's a non-profit foundation formed to manage the college farm laboratory. It was started in 1954. It is run as an auxiliary corporation. governed by a 7-member board of directors who come from the industry. They're all big farmers or big representatives of the ag industry. And they provide fiscal oversight to the University Agricultural Laboratory. What is unique about our laboratory is that we run it like a commercial business, like a farm. One of the reasons is if we're going to teach our students farming, we better teach them how to make money in farming, not lose money. So we treat it as a business and we run it as a business. So our 1,000-acre farm laboratory has to generate resources to maintain itself and run. If you look at the cost of operating the farm laboratory, it's about $6 million a year. Less than 20% comes from state funding, from taxpayers' money. 80% is generated from revenues that we produce by the students. It is organized like a big multi-corporation would be. We have several auxiliary enterprises within that. The UAL, or University Agricultural Laboratory, is the overriding umbrella. I'm reporting by dotted line to the Ag Foundation Board of Directors, but report directly to my dean. We have several programs, animal science program, plant science, viticulture, food processing, etc. Each one of these is called as an enterprise, run by a manager, like a real business. So we have the beef, the dairy, the swine, sheep, poultry, all kind of different livestock species as enterprise, different crops, grapes, winery, etc. So we truly believe in farm to fork. We produce the crop, we process it, we sell it also. Okay, we are the only commercial winery in an academic campus in the nation. We started in 1998. We bonded our winery. We can bottle the wine, we can sell the wine, we do sell the wine. We sell about 8,000 cases of wine every year under the Fresno State label. This is our winery. You can see the tanks. We can produce about 30,000 gallons of wine. Again, this is a teaching winery. So we teach students how to make wine from the grapes that we grow. In the process, instead of dumping the wine, we bottle them and we sell them. Those are our case goods room. In the last 10 years, we have won more than 350 medals, gold medals, silver medals, best of show, etc. So the quality of the wines that our students make are some of the best. We pride in telling that we don't make wine, we produce the winemakers. We are really producing winemakers who learn how to make wines and put them out in the world. If you go to any winery in California, you will find a Fresno State graduate working there as a winemaker. These are some of the medals that we've won last year. We have 150 acres of grapes. The one that you see in the green are what we call the table grapes, the ones that we eat in the supermarket, you get in the supermarket, or the raisins. And then the one in the brown is the wine grapes, about half and half. About 75 acres of wine grapes, 75 acres of table grapes. We sell this to the wineries. We make wine from these grapes. Then going beyond, we have about 300 acres of what we call the row crops or the field crops. 120 acres of alfalfa. Then we produce silage corn for our dairy. We have winter forage, oats and wheats, and several other field crops. We have cotton this year, about 30 acres. Again, the students operate this. They take care of the crop. They, plow the land. They use the machineries. They learn from it. And they also get paid. So it's also called earn while you learn. They get paid for that. Coming to orchard crops, which are the most important crops in California, we have practically every crop that is grown in California. Normally, I get a lot of tourists. Last week, we had students from Denmark come in. If you don't have time to travel around the Fresno County, I can give a one-hour tour in our farm and they can see everything, because we grow practically every crop that is grown. Pistachios, about 25 acres. That's a golden nut, or we call the green nut now. We were the first campus to produce an olives for oil, 25 acres of olive oil and trees. We have citrus, stone fruits, about 65 acres of almonds, basically all the cash crops that are important. Again, these are grown for teaching students. Our faculties bring their class, teach the various operations, and also for some research that is being done. Mostly applied research, not much basic research. This is a crop of olives for oil. The olives you might have trained are huge trees, but these are grown like a bush so that we can use a grape harvester. The machine that you see is actually a grape harvester that is modified to harvest olives. So mechanical harvesting of olives for oil, and we take these fruits and crush them and produce olive oil. So we do organize field days. Since we are not a land-grant institution, we don't have an extension mandate, but we do work with the farmers and show them some outreach activities. We invite farmers for our field days when we harvest this crop. 2006, about 5 years ago, this is our president, President Welty. We released our first bottled olive oil. And since then, we have won 3 medals for the student-produced olive oils, which are sold in our market. Okay. Again, I don't know, you probably know that United States imports 95% of the olive oil that we consume. Only 5% is grown domestically. So it's a huge market, and California is going strong with it in the last 10 years. It's a big crop, golden crop for California. We have several other enterprises. We have the nursery enterprise where students grow different crops, plants. Actually, right now they are growing poinsettias for the Christmas, and they do sell them in the campus. Our students also learn the art and science of floral design. How do you make flower arrangements for weddings, marriages, funerals, graduations? They go out and do a lot of weddings, and they get trained and they become teachers at schools teaching floral design. But the most important crop that we have in our farm is the sweet corn. Sweet corn is corn is still king at Fresno State. For those of you who probably know about us, we sell a lot of sweet corn. And we get a lot of publicity. Unfortunately, I can't click on that video. That's from ABC News because we don't have internet access here. We get a lot of publicity. Just recently, in August, we were on the front page of LA Times, Los Angeles Times, talking about the sweet corn success at Fresno State. We were in Wall Street, we were in New York Times on an AP story. So the success of sweet corn, as I was telling, when I joined in 2005, we were selling about 270,000 ears of corn through our farm market. It's like a small stand. Right now, this year, we sold close to 640,000, actually. It has gone up. Every year is sold. We used to be selling it at 4 years for a dollar. This year, we sold it at 3 years for a dollar. So we just cashed in about $220,000 on selling corn alone in our market. That's how we make our income. We have a whole range of animal science enterprises, which I will go through quickly. We have a 150-cow dairy. It's a teaching dairy for our students. Our students do all the aspects of milking, feeding, cleaning. Everything is done by students. They milk twice a day, at 3 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Students live there. It's really fun to watch. We have a beef enterprise. We have basically 2 breeds, the Black Angus and the Charolais breed. We do have a horse enterprise where students learn horse nutrition, horse riding horses, horse reproduction. It's a very, very popular field, especially among women. We have about 100 majors, mostly girls, 90% are girls, who are in equine science. We also have a sheep industry, so we have a sheep enterprise where we have about 200 sheep in our farm. Swine is not big in California. I think we are 28th in the nation. It's less than 1% of this hog production is from California. But still there is an interest among our students, especially for FFA, judging contest and other things. So we do have a swine enterprise. Like the rest of the country, we are suffering due to the high price of corn. So each enterprise stands on its own legs, so some enterprise may be losing money. For example, the hog enterprise is losing money in the last 2-3 years, but we are trying to make it up. We also not only produce our own milk, we process our milk. We have a pasteurizing plant where we teach students how to pasteurize milk. We make chocolate milk, we make cheese processing, ice cream. Fresno State has about 55 flavors of ice cream. Every year, the students develop new flavors in their classes as part of their learning experience. And some of them make it to the market. We sell almost close to $250,000 worth of ice cream. And students come up with new products. We have a huge almond industry, so we have a lot of honeybees for pollinating almonds. So these 2 girls who come from a beekeeping family, they were students just graduated last year, they wanted to start a honey enterprise. So they collected honey, processed it, and we are selling it in our Fresno State logo. Our food processing classes have a sensory evaluation class where the faculty decided to do some blending of coffee. We don't grow coffee, obviously, in Fresno, but we can blend different flavors of coffee from countries around the world and came up with a new blend called Bulldog Blend. Bulldog is our mascot for football team. And that's a very popular coffee now being sold in our campus. Our culinology department, students make pies and baked goods. None of these things goes to waste. That's the point I want to make. You know, the students learn from it in their classes and we make money out of it. How do we do that? We have a retail outlet on campus. It's called as the Gibson Farm Market, named after the lady who gave us $1.5 million to build a new farm market, Gibson family. This is where we sell all the products. One of the unique thing about our farm market is that we sell only products that are produced or processed by our students on campus. Nothing else. We don't buy products from outside and sell. That means you will find sweet corn from early June until late September. After that, it's gone. People have to wait for the next 6 months to get it. So the products are very seasonal. If you look at our farm market's history, it was started as a roadside stand about 20 years ago to sell some excess sweet corn. First year, I understand, in 1986, they sold about $20,000 worth of products. When I joined in 2005, we were selling about $800,000 worth of products from our farm market. Just last year, our sales went up to $1.3 million. Now, we have practically doubled our sales in six years. Two reasons. One, it's locally produced products. People love the product. They want to come fresh products. And second, whatever the community buys, it supports education to go back to our students. So that's the reason. That was the growth of the farm market. But looking at our farm's revenue itself, recall the first slide I showed you where the state budget is going down almost about 30% in the last 10 years. Our revenues from the farm has gone up more than 30% in the last 10 years. We used to have $3.5 million in 2001. This year, we just closed the books for June 30th. We had about $5 million in revenues. So, on the one hand, we are successful generating our own revenues, and we are losing money on the state side. So some people argue that we are our own victims of the success. Since we are able to make more money, our administration is more inclined to cut the budget. But I tend to argue that's not the case. No matter what, our budget would have shrunk anyway. We would have been forced to close some of the operations. We would have been forced to shut down some of the enterprises. But thanks to our revenues, we are able to maintain it somehow. What we do with this money that we generate, on an average, we have generated profits of $100,000 a year in the last 10 years, which means about $1 million in the last 10 years. We use that to buy new equipments. This is a new wine press just we bought from Italy. It's about $85,000. We could not have bought it otherwise. You know, this is equipment that is purchased with our own revenues. We bought new tractors, new alfalfa swather and baler and all those kind of things. Almost close to $1.5 million in the last 5 years we invested. Again, as one of our colleagues were mentioning in the earlier presentation, we just don't buy it free. The enterprise has to pay it back through depreciation for usage. That means we invest in it and then the business has to pay it back. So we have more money coming in for future revenues, future investment. We installed a new center pivot irrigation system. We changed our dairy from an old system, a 3x2 or a 6-cow parlor, to a new 6x2 at a cost of $280,000. We had air quality restrictions, so we had to do a new dairy waste management system, which costed about $650,000. Again, all these things we could not have done if we depended on taxpayers' money from the state budget, because it is not there. So we are able to do it with the revenues that the farm generates, okay? And so that's why everybody is looking at us as a unique model, how you are able to do this, how you are able to generate those revenues. But our main focus is on education. So students get hands-on experience, they work with equipment, the faculties bring their classes. Last year alone, over 89 classes were taught in the farm, okay? Our students learn marketing. This is our wine enology students going out to Trader Joe's and releasing one of our new new wine varietal, along with working with Trader Joe's people. Again, practical hands-on experience. You can see students planting. You can see students involved in selecting grapes, crushing and making the wine, milking the cows or doing everything. We employ about 150 students. We spend about $700,000 on student payroll, all paid for by revenues. Okay, so it's a very unique system. And this year, every year is different. Last year, last two, three years, we lost money in dairy. Everybody's losing money in dairy. But fortunately, we are making money in other areas, which kind of balances out. So it's one family of enterprise. There is no, if somebody is losing, the others are helping. And it's going to be, the cycle is going to turn around. Fortunately for this year, we are going to see a really even better results because the prices for our wine grapes, table grapes, raisins, almonds, pistachios are excellent, and our yields have been very good. So we are expecting a big bumper crop this year and a good, good revenues. It's especially important for us because we are going to have another budget cut coming up in December. So our goal is to be able to maintain and grow this farm laboratory and become self-sufficient. My prediction is that in another 5-10 years, state support will completely dry up. So it will become a completely self-funded operation where the farm generates its own revenues to be able to support itself. And which is not bad, actually. You know, that's how the students learn how to run a farm. You know, still running a 1,000-acre farm and you are not paying for a lot of expenses and utilities are paid for by the state. So it should be fairly easy to make that kind of a, profit out of it. That's all I have. I had a couple of, videos that I could have linked, but I cannot, but that's all I have. Thank you. Yes, as I told you, we spend about $700,000 in student labor. If you divide it by $8 an hour, which is the minimum wage, it's almost about 90,000 hours of student labor for the whole firm. But an equal or if not more amount of hours are given by voluntary labor. Voluntary meaning part of the class activities. They'll be coming as part of the class activities, they'll be involved in it. There are students who just want to sign up for voluntary service and work in the for some of the units like the horse unit. Yes, we do have quite a bit of voluntary student involvement who are not paid. Yeah. Yes, I had one slide there. We had different types of cheese we make. Yes, we make cheese. We make ice creams, of course. We make yogurt, butter. Again, we have a strong dairy processing department, so it's part of the lab that is being taught to students. The only difference is, if you just make it for the lab, you'll make a few cheese and that's all you will sell. But since we have a constant customer base and we have a store where people come and buy, in addition to just making it in the labs, we have the manager who would make it as a regular production facility with the help of students. Yeah.
Do you have issues with local farmers?
Yes. I'm glad you asked that. I was expecting that question because many of the universities who try to do this run into that problem, competition issues. Fortunately, we don't have. In some areas, we had. The only enterprise we had some serious issue was in the floral design because there are local florists who complained to the governor saying that we are competing with them at taxpayers' money at an unfair advantage and driving them out of business. We had to write an explanation saying that we are not competing. Our prices are higher than their price and we are educating people. Our wine industry, occasionally one small winery has complained that we are competing, but then we had to explain to them that we are, training and graduating students who can come and work in the industry. By and far, I think we haven't had any of those problems. The local farmers do not complain.
So in general, your prices are higher?
Yes, our prices are usually higher than what the local market is. So we are not competing on price. We are competing on quality. Again, the people who buy from us buy because it helps the college. It's a way of giving back to the college, to the community.
I imagine you have tremendous placement of your graduates.
Yes.
Because they're already.
Yes. Exactly. I can't keep students. We can't produce enough students because they are so hands-on, practical trained. We have a very healthy, competition with UC Davis. UC Davis has got an excellent enology program, but it's more a research-based program. So when a company wants a winemaker who wants to get dirty and do the job, they will come to Fresno State and hire our students. When they want a research scientist or a microbiologist who does some of the state-of-the-art research, they will go to UC Davis. So we have a niche market where our students are real. We talked about production agriculture this morning. We are specializing in production agriculture. That's our strength. Our students can get on the tractor on day one and do the job. Yes, we have requests, except for wine, there are state restrictions, you can't ship wine. Other products, we get requests, we ship them out. But apart from the products that we sell in the market, our local campus market, the bulk of the products goes to the wholesalers. Like our bulk of our almonds, our milk goes to the cooperative, and so it gets diluted with the rest of the products. Because we can't, out of 70 acres of table grapes, we can't sell everything through the retail, which is where we make the money. We sell them through the wholesale too. No, we are not shy at all. That's why, if you look at any year's budget or balance statement, you'll find some enterprise which has lost money, some enterprise which has made money. As director, my responsibility is to make sure that the overall farm makes money. Individually, the animal science programs in the last 3-4 years has been losing money because of the high feed cost. We have to get all our corn from Midwest, shipping charge and ethanol and all those kind of things. But since we are so diversified, we're able to make up in one or the other. Yeah.
Well, let's give a wonderful hand.
As a corn connoisseur and sweet corn snob, what variety do you plant?
We plant the Syngenta's Vision. Vision, yeah. Yellow sweet corn called Vision. Yeah.
It is very good. I'll tell a story. We're all friends. Replicating trials, 4 reps, 3 different trials. The raccoons took out Vision each time.
Oh.
That tells you how good Vision is.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Are raccoons susceptible?
Very raccoon susceptible. Thank you so much. Well, that concludes our symposium, and I'm very excited. I'm ready to go out and collaborate and think outside the box about how to do research, how to combine what other folks are doing, at the same time educate our students. We've been talking about doing that, but don't have the guts to do it. So everything from sustainability to high tech research, we've seen it here. And we've all got problems, but we also have lots of solutions, and I'm excited about that. Does anybody have any questions for any of our speakers? Yes, sir. I think we are the big science many times.
Well, that's the one that I was looking at.
Uh-huh.
I really think we have defined ourselves out of that arena. I think the land grant mission and ag colleges and the tie-in that they developed to feed America and to have agricultural productivity that is second to nothing, I think that was pretty big science.
Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes we sit back and let others define what big science is.
Bill has a point. General, very general. Yeah, we did too. No. And we don't even have that major anymore. And we need folks that can explain that big science in layman's terms, that our clients do know that. The general public understands what this means and what implications they have on them. I had 9 botany classes come out, and I asked, so 9 times 22, how many of you all have an opinion of GMOs? I probably had 5 of those, and these are non-ag people. I said, folks, you're the ones that make the decisions. So I explained it to them. If you want worms or not worms in your sweet corn, vision, you have worms or spray. Anything else? Open discussion. It's wonderful.
Is that
Wonderful. All right. Anything else? If not, I want to thank you all. This has been a wonderful symposium. We got a lot of good ideas, and the discussion afterward was great. For those in the in our section, land management and conservation section, we're going to have a business meeting afterwards and then split up off into our two communities. So I invite you to stay. We'll take just a few minutes breaks to get things lined back up, and we'll see you here in a little bit. Thank you. I like your
first of all, I'm going to give you a little look up on your wallet.
All right. All right.
Say, man, it was worth it.
See that?
That's right. That's worth a year's worth of work.
That's right.
Encourage people to talk about special talent sessions.
Uh-huh.
So get them in.
Yes.
Get it done. The budget essentially says this.
Okay.
Oh, no, you're
Boyle. Yes. Bill here.
Oh, Bill's coming.
Yes.
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
Good.
I just get a photo about this.
Oh, man. That's his job.
Yeah, it is. It is his job. It has nothing to do with you.
Oh, right.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
We've been going since 31. I feel like I've already been done through this meeting twice.
Okay. Secondly, we have an agenda. Yes. Everybody on one side. Let's call this Land Management and Conservation Section meeting to order. We won't have minutes because we had no section last year to have minutes on. Because this is brand new. We'll do that in the community part of it. My name is Tim Reinbott. I've been the section chair this past year. Tim Carey's also in the audience. He'll take over right before we get done. And I just want to have everybody introduce themselves, because we do have two communities here, and maybe half of us don't know the other half. So let's start with John Bowman.
John Bowman, University of Missouri, Assistant Director of Ag Services. I'm Ray Wright. I'm actually not with the community. I'm just sitting in and seeing what's going on at work with them. I'm Frank Pierce. I'm not a member of the community.
And we'll be presiding tomorrow, correct?
I'm sorry?
And we'll be presiding over a session tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
That's right. As well as Chuck.
Ryan Busby. I'm with the U.S. Army Lab and a member of the Military Land Community.
All right. Well, wonderful. We got a pretty good split here. Fran, do you want to do your thing so you can, because I know you're tired and old. And, no.
Well, thank you, Fran.
Appreciate it. We have a lot of fun here this last year, so
I yes.
Appreciate that. Last thing I want to say is that I will be here through your section meeting, because if something comes up and you go, I don't get this, and
Yeah, Bill is our ASA rep, and he'll fill us in on some budgetary items. Okay. Well, I don't have to do anything.
Government of this particular dollar. So let's find out. five proposals. The rest of them are, just weren't that good. But they'll be asked to write four proposals. Those will be reviewed by March 1st, presented to the board, and the board will approve them. Discussion, and there'll be full board approval of those dollars. You'll see more details. I wrote an article in July on CSA News. It was very transparent. It said, here's how much money we have, here's how we're going to do this, here's who gets it. It's all laid out, and we have a website for that as well. And so you should start thinking in terms of these enhancement dollars that come and go 1 year at a time. And if you have a bad year, you'll see nothing. If you have a good year, you could see considerable dollars available. Probably, like I said, it's the first time we've ever had anything like this. We still have program enhancement dollars. You know how they work. They'll be laid out, and you'll be able to expect some level in each community and some level in each section. And we're going to try to grow out what I'm going to be able to do with this year. The executive committee and board is going to try to find new ways to create dollars for both the sections and the communities out there. So we want to see it successful. Just think of the reinvestigated save money this year as being a two-year bank account that you can do what you want to with, and you can be very creative with it. You just have to make sure you coordinate with the groups that are coming in.
And even though my friend said it's a two-year thing, most of us are familiar with dealing with grants and these types of things. I would say get on top of it right away and find a way to, earmark, if you will, that fund that you want to spend it for, and start working with that right now so you have some way of spending these funds before.
You actually have a spreadsheet account at headquarters through our coordinator, and you'll be able to find out what's going on at any time during the year, and you'll find out if you have legal expenditure. And we've even used the term, you need a six-pack of beer to get people to come to your meeting. That's what you got to do, but we'll figure our way down. You were there. Some groups have done
that's not so far off.
It's not so far off.
The 87 division, when we had our division meetings at the evening before, we always had one of the equipment people sponsoring the food and beverage for that.
Right. So, one of the things, I was in a meeting earlier today on the education extension. And we're talking about ways to be creative. And I said, well, one of the things you could do is if you really wanted to enhance the papers in your community, you could say, we'll give $150 to any graduate student who will deliver a paper on this topic. Well, you're helping graduate students and you're getting more papers and you're getting young people involved in your community. So think creative. Mm-hmm.
So, Fran, for the $1,000 from the to the section, and $750 for the community, we do not have to get permission.
No, the communities are the only ones who've got to reinvest the estate money. The program enhancement funds include $1,000 at the section level, and some dollars in a formula base, and I can't tell you what your numbers are, but you'll have a number. Those both of them have to be spent for the annual meetings. These dollars are one-time only dollars for the next 2 years to spend for each community. Whatever you need to enhance
$750.
Okay? That's just the way that went. If there, somebody said, why can't we have that every year? And I said, well, we've got to put institutionalize that and make it part of our annual budget. These are one-time only funds that happen when things are good.
And no restrictions.
No restrictions. Mm-hmm. Restrictions are on the program enhancement funds because they come from the meeting funds generated from this meeting.
Okay.
And by the way, we have 2 years time period for communities. Sections, if they get money for $1,000 and do not use it for program enhancement in the year, they lose it.
Okay.
So the communities are empowered. The section guys are kind of like, you better do your job.
But the reinvest dollars do have qualifying limitations in regards to the five things you mentioned.
No. If there's five things in order to get a grant and reinvest next year. This year, we funded all the money to one proposal that said, why don't we give each community $750 for 2 years to do enhancement? So one time only thing. So don't think of reinvest ASA as the $750. That's where it came from.
Right.
But if you're going to write a proposal for $2,500 to enhance the membership through something you do for next year's reinvest, you'll see the talk one at the end of January. You got 1 month to get it in. They'll do the assessment, ask for full proposals. That let's take the money we did from this reinvest and give it to the communities to enhance communities.
But after this year, we'll have to show that it facilitate the strategic plan.
Right now, it's do what you need to do.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty far open. It just says, go enhance your community. $750 is not a lot of money, but $750 more than you had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing, right?
And I understand from the meeting we had that if there's, I don't know how relevant this is to this leader, these two communities, but if there are groups who want to support that community outside ASA, they can contribute funds.
Right. We're going to work through that language because there's certainly we have a business side of the ASA. Essentially, it's this. One of the communities went out and got two gifts, one for $1,500, one for $1,000 to support their symposium this year. So you start thinking in terms of being creative financially and saying, who can we help us to do more of what we want to do? But there are going to be, there are the rules of a 501c3 that you've got to follow, and that's not through headquarters. And we're going to work through that because people are nebulous. So, well, how does that exactly work? We'll get that done. Probably at the end of my time, I'm falling off the ship here pretty soon. But the idea, my idea from all of this has always been, enhance us, give us flexibility, give us an opportunity to do something. That's what this is all about. And just that if you embrace it, you probably can find a lot of ways to make it work, including writing grants for getting people to donate to you. There's lots of people available for questions on this, and you can ask anything. There's a booth at the headquarters booth that's not drawn the link on the name.
Sarah
is totally dedicated to communities. If you have any question about communities, she's spending the entire meeting at the headquarters main stop down in the display area. And she is excellent. And she'll tell you, well, we're a community chair, and I don't know where my money is. She'll tell you, I'll tell you how to do it. So those ones are available, by the way, right now. Okay?
And as far as membership is concerned, we're down a little bit on membership. As of August 31st, membership was 7,450 people. That's down about 300 from last year at that time. So part of this reinvest dollars is hopefully to increase membership as far as getting the younger people, like Fran said, if we can pay a graduate student or give them an excitement, if you will, or coming to the meeting, presenting a paper in an area that we need papers to present in. That will all help on getting these people involved. I have said, my advisor said the only reason we need to go to the ASA meetings was to find a job. Well, he was somewhat off there on that as far as my involvement in the ASA and how it turned out with regards to that. Candidates, we will be looking at the candidates. With regards to our land management, we need vice chairs for two candidates need to be there, and we need two board representative candidates for that. I think Tim will take care of that here in a bit. Another part of the board was the science policy committee was formed, and we have a science policy committee tomorrow morning, meeting tomorrow morning. Basically, we're looking at such things as water security for agriculture, save our GPS. How many of you know what's going on with the GPS systems right now? All the military people should know. basically, it's a concern because there's a consortium out there that has presented a proposal to the FCC to develop a nationwide, if you will, internet system. And that frequency is very close to the frequency for the GPS. And if it overrides that, my sister-in-law asked me what the problem was. And I explained it to her this way. Have you ever tried to listen to one of your favorite radio stations that's real close in frequency to another radio station, and that radio station keeps interfering when your favorite piece of music is on there? Well, the same thing can happen here. In other words, when you're driving your tank or your tractor or whatever down the road or out in the field, if that frequency gets interrupted, you lose your auto steer. And where are you going to go with it? So we have to be real concerned about this GPS stuff that's going on. And the same way with water security. In our meetings here earlier, a lot of the discussion was on
questions for answer and answer? Yes, sir.
I was just curious what the attendance was for this meeting. Is this a well-attended meeting?
No, someone asked earlier. I have not heard the number. I know the number of papers was very close to last year, up around very close. And that tends to be an indicator of the number of people that come. So I think we're pretty close to last year. We had a very good year. It was the best year in 5 years last year. I think we're close, but I meant to ask and I never got to the front desk to ask. But I think we're paper-wise we're close. So I would expect that our attendance is in the order. I guess we're almost, but I don't know
why. I have heard that the student attendance is way down. And that may be a lot due to finances.
About time.
Time as well. Finding, in October, I get from home margins, corn and soybeans, and grain starting from plant wheat, and all these other things. But you have to decide which is more critical or which is more important. So,
yeah, I hope you know how these meetings are done. We plan 5 years ahead of time. It's all about money and deals and contracts. Mm-hmm. I think that drives it. I asked somebody, I said, who thought we got one in Minneapolis in 3 years and it's in November 12th?
Yeah.
I said, anybody been in there November 12th? I mean, it could be bloody cold. I thought it was the same, but it's all about contracts and availability and pricing.
All right. Well, thank you, Bill. That was informative. You mentioned, Bill, that you all have a once a month conference call, and I can understand how that helps out. Chuck and Alan and I just sat down, 15 minutes during this meeting, and we brainstormed, and we came, I think, it's some good ideas that here in a little bit, as a section under Tim Carey, you all can vote on. And I'll just kind of introduce that a little bit. Like Alan said, land management conservation section, we encompass a lot. We should probably be one of the largest members of any of them. Because think about it, almost anything in agronomy, and that's what we really wanted to get back with the whole section and community, how the ASA is what everybody should be a member of also. And land management is huge in conservation. So how do we get more people involved in our section? And I came up with this idea. I said, I kind of want to start a new community, but we got 36 of them. And so many things fit underneath us, so we don't really need any communities. We just need to enhance what we have. And Chuck and Alan came up with the idea. One of the things that we could do is, and you've touched on this already, Fran, is a graduate student oral presentation competition. What better way of getting a lot of people out there in the whole societies to know about us, that we have a competition under this heading of land management and conservation. And we could use possibly as a source of funds, because you guys attach a prize to this $1,000 that the section will use, that we'll get from the program in enhancements. Couldn't that be used as our prize money of $500, $300, and $200? And this would, A, give graduate students some money, which they should need. I think they're pretty poor. But also, the resume, to go out and to polish up a talk, what better way of enhancing them in their career? At the same time, enhance our section. So that's something that we're really thinking about. And when we turn over to Tim here in a few minutes, I think that's something that we should vote on. Anything else? Do you understand what they were talking about with the funding? The community will get $750, and it could be some more. You know, we had this symposium here just now. That got paid for some of those speakers to come through program enhancements. So there's lots and lots of ways that we can do this, and hopefully once we get to our communities, we can think outside the box that we can really come up with some good stuff. I'm really depending on John and Bill and others and Chuck to really come up with some good ideas for us. Anything else before we turn it over to our new section leader. Yes?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I should do this, but if you do have questions about program enhancement funds, I was really lobbed in, and I will offer this to any of the sections, but since it's kind of a long section, I was part of putting that together. So if we have any questions, if there are opportunities, there not only the 750 can reinvest, there's 1,000 of the section.
Mm-hmm. And in several sections, like the symposium was more of a section, and so we do have several. Well, yes, sir.
It seems to me that the real goal here is to try to create an umbrella that pulls people from the previous narrowly focused groups into this broad umbrella mm-hmm. of land management and conservation mm-hmm. where their previous focus has been on a very specific niche, and we're trying to un-niche them.
That's correct. That's correct. And hopefully we'll bring a lot of the soil SSA folks in on this.
The last 2 years of attending the military land management, you all had some excellent papers on the soil, but none of the soil people
And maybe we should have them section sponsored for a while, just because it doesn't narrow us down so much, and you know, still involve the communities, of course, but they're section sponsored. Well, it's been a pleasure. It's been a struggle. I know Neil's on MU campus, so we talk from time to time, and he said, "I hate it when I don't know all the answers," because this is an ongoing process. But I think it's going to be great. And as a section leader, I got to get involved with the folks at the ASA headquarters. Oh, my gosh. You've never, ever found a more knowledgeable group of people in your life. And Cassie and Sarah and Stacy, if you have a question, they got your answer within a half hour. And I ask the same question a lot because there's a lot there. It's so new. But with that, I want to turn it over to Tim Carey.
Okay, is my mic big enough that everybody can hear me? There's a couple things that we need to do. Like Tim mentioned, there's a possibility of further discussing this graduate student idea that him and Alan worked through. But what does the section think of this? Is this something that we should move forward with to bring up at the chair meeting?
I think it's an excellent idea, as I said, to try to draw people away from the previous narrow tracks and get them looking at this overall area that could, I'll pull a number out of the air and 200 papers scattered around in different places this year that could easily fall in the category of land management and conservation.
So I guess as part of that, would we want to propose a symposium that could fall under? And if we can, we kind of need that, like, real soon, like right now. That's
I don't think it needs to be a symposium, because symposiums are normally a half-hour slot. And I think for graduate students, it should be the 15-minute slot, so we just need a topical
section. Do you have a topic that you'd like to propose for that now? Or anybody?
It should be just very broad, maybe just the name of our, because we want, the last thing we want to do is be exclusive and just be, you know, maybe to call it the land management and conservation graduate student competition. And we'll make it as big as we need to, is to depending on how many papers show up for.
We could potentially create some very broad categories, but maybe we don't need to do it until after papers show up.
That's what I think. Yeah, I like to kind of group the papers after you get your submissions.
Correct me if I'm wrong. By the 1st of November, 1st of December, we have to have our sessions kind of somewhat identified November 18th, and finalized by December 18th. So like the idea is just get your ideas on the table, then you have to sort them out.
But
so
that's
by November 18th, they've got to be finalized by December.
But that's for symposiums, is it not?
Symposiums and thematic session, or type of
session.
This was
still fall into that.
You still want to get yourself organized. So you're pretty sure by the 18th. You think holidays come and all of a sudden people are making decisions in January. So you really want to get it done. All the way across the board, what you want to do.
The meeting at?
What's that?
Where's the meeting at?
Cincinnati, Ohio, I believe.
Yes.
That means
the
meeting.
The potential to draw students in Cincinnati is high because when you do a 500-mile radius, you pick up a lot of students in that 500-mile, and that's what you should really focus on. Is even if you can't get the long distance ones, you just have a bigger pool.
A lot of Pennsylvania and Virginia.
When you go 500 miles, you get the whole Corn Belt. You pick up some of the South and the East Coast. It's a pretty good location from that respect.
And then possibly the section chair and the community leaders. Maybe filter the, make sure they fit, the abstracts fit our, you know, case, how Hal said, so we don't get too
some of this we talked about yesterday afternoon at some
point.
Right.
Brian,
you had a question? Oh, I was just going to say, we had a grad student coordinator, and anytime people would always send announcements from all over the world would come into the student coordinator, and she would just forward them to the list, you know, the graduate student list. If we came up with a one-page pamphlet that just said what it is and when the deadline is, and sent it, came up with a list of departments at the different universities, I think we would have a lot of people.
Because you have a listserv for both the section and communities, you can then say, could you push this through the department list? So you don't even have to know the list, so I'll just push it for you.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of that.
Forward to the departments.
Yep, you just say we want this message to be pushed through a certain list. So we already have it in place, you just have right there.
How about the ASA listservs?
That's what I'm saying. Oh. You do the whole thing, but you also realize that they have lists of, I think they have lists of graduate program coordinators, different entities within that. So if you want to just go to land grants and not to the whole ASA list, you can get there.
Is that the end of that?
It's Sarah. Really, she's going to say, I can do that like that.
Yeah.
She might even get a tweet if you to what, I'm serious. That's what they're going.
Yeah, she might, because with this meeting, you could get it wherever you want out of your cell phone.
I really want your chairs to get to know Sarah, because she's going to be great.
So, and, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, I'm thinking that if we just have this one set of awards, it's $500, is a large enough amount to interest people. I don't see any reason why it couldn't draw 100 applicants, or perhaps even more. The challenge then is to organize them into sessions within the conference format, but we'd sooner have that challenge than have the current one of having lots of empty time slots and trying to figure out who to put in.
So did I see this now, because I don't want to hold this up, so did I see this now, we're proposing to put in a land management conservation grad student competition is one of our ideas for the section. I'm seeing that it sounds like most everybody that's in here now is up for the $300 to use our $1,000 for that competition. And do I need to take that official Robert's rules?
You know what I'd recommend? You do have to be 18. You got a listserv through your community and sections, and you can play this to everybody on the list and just say, or just confirm this or give me another idea.
Okay.
So you can get a nice vote here, but I think ultimately you want to use your time if you can. Unless you'd like to seal the deal. That's part of the
just seal the deal. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll make a nomination. That we go, that we move towards using the resources for that purpose.
I'll second. I'd like to amend it by saying the section leader and community leaders be the three people that put it together as far as selection.
Do you have to run? Do you need me for anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. So.
Thank you. Okay,
thank you. Taylor, you take the notes on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'll do is take out a bunch of chicken scraps and I'll send it to you and make sure you agree with what I wrote.
I wrote up some rules for another section of graduate student competition that I think we can easily adjust to this, and I'll send that to you.
Okay.
Good.
So we've got it moved and seconded. All of their section members, say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye.
Any nays? Nothing cares.
Well, it's something positive at least, even if it's not perfect.
Okay, so moving on to the next issue. We need to have an election, but we need to have two people for a vice chair election, two for an ASA board rep. Now, the question is, how do we want to do this?
would suggest that two names from the experiment stations be nominated this year, the following year, two names would come from a military year so that we're sure that we're bouncing back and forth.
If we're going to go back and forth, the nomination needs to be from the military because I'm already in line at the experiment station.
Right, it's a vice chair for your one year.
So we're already rotating. So the next nomination, if we're going to rotate, then the nominations.
For the board representative, right? You're for the board representative?
No, you're not.
No, I'm the vice chair. Vice chair.
He's a
vice chair.
For the section.
It's for the section.
You are?
Yeah. I thought that was what. I will be in his place next year.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm also the vice community leader. Okay. That's why you're confused.
I guess I'm confused because I thought that that's what we were fixing to nominate for.
You will be nominating
for
2013.
For the vice chair.
Vice chair should be in office in 2013.
And the election will be until April 2012.
That's right.
So we're looking for a vice chair.
So I was elected to this thing.
Okay.
Right.
I don't become vice chair until next year.
I know, for example, that S4 and S8 always meet together, and that's the way they do it. They have the S4 chair one year, and then elect the following year the S8 chair, so they're always cycling through. And so the way they assure that is to have the two names come from that section. So.
And that's fine as long as we stay as two communities.
Right. If we add one community, we'll have to do something about another procedure.
So, I mean, what's the feeling of consensus here?
Section chair on an annual basis?
Well, what happens if, we have a lot of people who already have community ideas, and the typical, at least I hope, new communities, what happens if we have a new community? But I guess we're going to make a decision here.
Well,
so at least let's get the proper
right.
Communities here now.
And next year,
they don't get to play. They get their second.
You're not going to give it. They don't get to
play. Right, they wouldn't get to play at the moment.
Okay.
I've got an official motion and a second. Any further discussion? I forgot that last time.
So the motion is that the person comes from a different community, alternating community.
Right, for the section vice chair.
Well,
the chair, we're basically going to, since we have two sections, we'll flip-flop it.
But that's any person, or is it the leader of that community?
No,
not necessarily.
Not necessarily. It's not for them.
Okay.
case, we probably just split it. One community come up with one, and one community come up with the other.
I'd probably just go from that.
Does that sound good? I don't remember what the deadline is for having those names submitted.
We need to get those names in.
I'm sorry?
I think it's.
It's the same.
Yeah, they want them.
They want them at the, well, at least at the board meeting.
Yeah, we'll have to have them by on Thursday morning at 8 o'clock when we have a board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we can still do two seconds in our.
Yeah, I'm
not
mad.
I said. Domination. I'm done.
But will you say if you're interested.
From Military Lands last year, Alan Anderson accepted the nomination to go to the board until it changed everything. I'll nominate Alan Anderson, even though he's not here. And I will give him a call tomorrow and make sure that's all right with him still. And let you know.
Okay, so anything else other than adjourning to the.
We've got DSA presidential nominations.
Oh, yes. Oops, missed that.
Okay.
They won't, if we have any ASA presidential nominations.
Basically, we're going back to the old way that we used to nominate ASA presidents. We had a committee that got together at this meeting and usually consisted of 10 or 12 people that were there. They would submit names that they thought would be ideal for the candidacy. And then at that particular meeting, we would sit down and rank all of those names individually. Those rankings would be turned in and tallied, and then we look at the rankings from there, eliminate the bottom. Now we're going to do that via the website. In other words, you don't have an active party, if you will, or can actively participate in the nomination of the ASA president and the selection, if you will. So if you know of anybody that you would like to nominate for ASA president, please. Let us know that.
I was a nominee once. I was a representative. Presumably down below the top two of the list.
Yeah. Well, quite honestly, I don't have the time to do what they have to do.
That's good. Pretty much that.
On a good shot.
Yeah.
That's a 3 or 4 year commitment.
Yeah, because you become vice president. You left, then you become vice president, then you become president, and then after you're president, you become
president
and has a lot of responsibilities. Yeah. So it's actually almost a blind person
to be responsible.
Now, does every session have to give a nomination?
Only if they want to.
Only if they want to. They don't have to. It's not a requirement. But, it would be a great opportunity for me to put somebody forward.
Okay. Or Bob.
Would they want to
talk? I've got a
job
here.
Bill Harris got a job.
So anybody else? Anything else? If you do have a nomination, just email it.
Well, our symposium has a similar site to have a similar symposium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That just needs some ideas.
Five. Months from now.
November 8th.
Each community is allowed 1 half-day symposium. And I'm not sure what y'all remember what they said about each section.
Each section can
have one. One takes 1 half-day also. So
that's more symposium than
we've been there for a
accommodate if everybody did it.
Right.
It's not a great morning.
You all discussed earlier the possibility of a symposium that you had an idea for, so you needed to follow through on that.
Can I recommend something for conservation buffers? If you look through some of the symposia that are going on, we should have co-sponsored them. Maybe if we do something that's more aligned to some of the other sections or even SSSA divisions, we might get more people. And that seems like a...
We need to partner with some of these other divisions.
Mm-hmm. One of the problems is that I've had this in the past, that you frequently can't tell early enough exactly what's going to be covered in something, and you only discover after you see it in the program that's a series of things that fits closely with something you're interested in. It's a kind of a catch-22.
That's kind of the philosophy, though, behind getting all of the titles for symposiums and sessions in by the 18th of November, having them finalized.
What I mean is that the titles may not tell you
exactly
what the content is.
Yeah. Once you see the papers.
Yeah.
But there again,
it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, plus the fact that, for example, if Tim had something come in this year that really didn't fit the land management situation, he could contact other community leaders and section leaders and find out and say, okay, I've got this particular paper that came in. Does it fit in any of your particular areas?
I've done that in the past when you used to walk the card over and give it to somebody.
Oh, yeah. Had the sticky notes up on the paper and walk in.
Or that is the
ones I've been in.
Perhaps we should offer some topics and then do a little, we're probably only going to be able to have one, do a little listserv kind of discussion of what's the best one. And maybe even, I think, the society will offer one of those little dual voting things where you can just list them and tally it up and see what everybody on the section.
Yeah, it's a topic.
I think Ryan is a good idea.
Sarah.
That would draw some things. And
right.
We both have issues with buffers. I would think the President of State would have them in spades. Another thing I was thinking, that's probably biomass issues.
Well, there's some this year in that.
Yeah. And that's certainly a land use thing. Not that we have a lot of things going on, but I personally for military lands, I'm anti biomass production because it takes away from training capability. But I'm sure there's a lot of land managers on installations that probably would justify some of that.
As a suggestion, I would think that since the theme seems is to try to bring more people in, and we should do it at the section level and have
a
and so that we're more inclusive.
Well, I was thinking of this in broad terms. If we're talking at the section level, it seems to me that there's the potential
dealt with a lot of unique aspects of extensively managed landscapes. It was very well attended, if you recall. Dr. Dixon organized that one. We had a couple of speakers from the University of Wisconsin that touched briefly on biomass production in basically extensively managed landscapes and those kinds of things. And so I think if we perhaps could capture the concepts of extensively managed versus intensively managed biofuels and alternative energy sources, we might capture a much bigger audience. And fits underneath the umbrella of conservation and management.
Well, another issue that environmental quality and crop science are looking at is the carbon sequestration questions, potentials, credits, cost issues, and those apply to all kinds of managed lands.
Can the military lands apply for carbon credits?
We don't know. That's an interesting question.
It's kind of like, just like our GMO type things.
Can we apply for carbon credits for the crops that we're producing on the research fields?
Potentially.
I mean, the thing for a pivot system.
So our particular institution has prohibited us from participating in government programs.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that would fall under that.
I'm not sure it's going to be a government program.
So it's not a USDA program.
Yeah, it's going to be a, the trading market's going to be a free market trading market.
I was thinking in terms of the biomass after listening to some of the discussions.
There are a lot of people who are promoting the idea of using military lands for biomass to help support the energy requirements of the installation. And
well, you're talking about all this fragmentation, pollution, and all this.
The AMC has a lot of money.
Right, kind of, yes.
It's got a sales.
Presumably, misoriented, but that's a, but that's part of the course.
I'll say one of the topics right now, I think, out there hot is cover crops. And there are those sessions just on cover crops. They're scattered all about. You know, they're in the soils, they're in the crops, they're in the organic session, they're everywhere. And if you have a concentrated one, would be good.
A reminder, the symposia is to invite speakers, not necessarily society members, come in and talk to the group.
And you can have funds for that then.
But not necessarily.
There are lots of ways to do that.
Depends on who you invite, whoever comes
in. It's all about how you write the description of the symposium.
Yeah.
Right. To attract somebody and say, I want to.
The section gets money for doing that. Not a lot, but there are some other opportunities within ASA to get grants and other ones to cover some of those costs, if that's what you're doing.
I was just talking to somebody who was irritated because one year they were invited speaker and they were going to wait, but ASA's policy, your cross society policies, if you're a member, you have to pay the registration fees regardless of whether you're invited or not. So, I mean, there's...
Well, under the new structure, some of those rules may be out the door.
Well, they changed. I don't know how to argue with that. I was talking to somebody who said they wasn't a member anymore because they got mad.
They changed that a few years ago because some sections were declaring every single person an invited speaker and asking that they waive registration fees for like 24 people, most of whom were members. And so there was board action, and somebody pointed that out.
I would like to personally thank Tim too, even though he got a nice certificate, because he sent out a lot of emails this last year. I think he did a great job representing our section.
Segment. I called the individual and talked to him a little bit about having a tour there of a group of agronomists from the American Society of Agronomy and soil science people and also crop science people. He says, well, I don't have anything to do with agronomy. I said, what do you mean you don't have anything to do with agronomy? You're growing plants hydroponically. And he finally accepted the idea that, yeah, he was an agronomist. So, again, that goes back to some discussion this morning about what we're talking about with regards to that. So we'll be going to that facility and looking at that. And they sell stuff.
The way they have instructed us.
They sell stuff all over the world.
Different communities, section chairs, actually,
so I would be very interested in
to
do that.
Used to be a station.
And the other
would put,
I guess,
put the
thing that we have
communities no longer do
working against this now.
Although they're going, I think
one of the questions I was asked was, well, how we want to move.
Of course, what it means is to have a first stab, a therapy, and regular parts, but it's really an option section chair.
It's because of the closing ceremonies, if you will, now, or closing keynote speakers. We're required to be back to the convention center by 4 o'clock. We used to have in, there's no way to go. Just whenever we got finished with it.
I was the tour.
Yeah, I lost your tail. I lost
now they're required to start at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So everybody could be at that closing session, if you know. So that's something else we need to discuss as part of our videos. We'd like to share with that.
Thank you.
Sunday would be great, but you're right. Sunday here in their community places all day.
Yeah.
chair, the chair, the chair and vice chair do it.
The ones that are all over the GLA conference right now.
And we try to make it happen. It's very essential. Not too much different than if they were sending it at the meeting. But we didn't want it to be a part of the meeting.
And at one point, we even had a separate section for the innovator or for
all that.
Yeah, we wanted to put out your experience.
personnel is a big one that obviously interested creating some innovative things that we don't talk about in some and spend some money and bring somebody really good in personnel management. I mean these are students operations presentation highest professional of ours and numbers continue. I don't know. I mean I haven't seen anybody ever from Minnesota here and then kind of
what I think.
But I know there's a lot of people who aren't here anymore, and I don't know if that's going to help any, but that's one thing that we at Harvard, we have our conference, the whole section there on kind of management related issues that might be helpful. I don't know, maybe it won't. I just thinking of ways to make it more relevant.
Because it was just have a speaker that maybe here for about an hour?
Yeah.
Just an hour session.
Especially if it's a pen club. Yeah, I mean, actually, that would be a good idea.
Do you think that food safety would catch a lot of people?
Well, food safety is one of the things. Because there is an organic community.
See, we can co-sponsor that with the organic community.
Yeah.
Who do you mean to say food safety?
Okay.
It's a human issue. That's what I...
No, I know. Well, I mean, well, even when you're trying to import it, if you're trying to biomass, that's a huge issue.
Yeah,
very somebody renamed it narrow down.
When you said food safety, I was thinking if you're inviting a speaker, somebody who's done the tracing of from the outbreak back to the source and just how that all fit in. You know, not that. Just
well, we can have somebody from the USDA that's involved in food safety and not talk. I'm sure there's a local office of the USDA.
Throwing out the English pool on how you sit down and eat spinach, you know, think twice about being coming sick from that. How is that tied back into maybe how what's happening there? And
whatever's on, it's on it as it goes out, as opposed to if it's picked and goes through the process and it's
better to watch it. See, that's how you answer too, is what you apply. You can't apply manure within so many months.
I was kind of trying to tie it in maybe with what we're this area. That would be the
manure within 3 months.
We retain our officers for 1 more year.
maybe we can have a joint session, and it could actually be how you could do that on the farms, on the centers. Amen.